And I don't think you can take away from that at all, because that's the tremendous emphasis that you find in these three, in these two verses, that Solomon becomes the center and everything else circumferences around him and draws from him. There is this whole matter of the deportment of his servants, and you get servants and attendants. I understand that the word deportment there has to do with abiding, that the servants are there in this atmosphere, this wonderful congenial atmosphere, coming under the influence of Solomon. And you just talk about headship, because that's where influence comes. Coming under the influence of Solomon, and their servants engaged in answering to Solomon. But then there are attendants, and the attendants would seem to be maybe those a little bit more specific in carrying out a specific service. Ministers in the assembly of God. Those who answer to the bringing to light the teaching, the truth, the pastoral exercises. But nevertheless, the saints are seen there in general, and the attendants are active in bringing in the mind of Solomon. So everything here is in such order that nothing is out of place, and everything reflects Solomon.
And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
Yes. I think that to bring out the joy of the Lord, vessels have been used. So we also can be a vessel to be used to bring out the joy of the Lord. Like in John's Gospel chapter 2, the servants are used. If there were no servants, then who would be able to do the work of the Lord? Like drawing the water, putting the water, that has been done by the servants. So what did the servants do? They have obeyed the Lord. So by their obedience, we see the joy has come out. So in the believers, if there is obedience, I think that the joy of the Lord can come out. And in John's Gospel, when we look in chapter 21, we see disciples inside the room, isolated from outside, isolated from Jews, isolated from world, isolated from religions. So unless the believers isolate himself from the world and the religions, that no joy of the God can be experienced in our lives. And in 2 Chronicles, we see the manner and the conduct of the servants, how they are dressed, how they are, the work has been done. So the Solomon's wisdom has been displayed. So likewise, if we are to bring forth out the wisdom, joy of the God, God is using you and me. It is not God that come and say, let there be joy. But how the joy comes out, it will come out by our obedience. It comes out by our aloofness, or by when we are isolated, and also it comes out when we do His work in a proper way.
See, again, that sometimes we separate the ministry from very practical things as believers. They all reflect whether we are under the ministry of the Word of God. So the apparel of the ministers and the attendants was also in concert with their service. It says that the Queen of Sheba, when she saw all of these things, she had no spirit left in her. It was taken from her to see the way in which, even from the food, the ministers, how they served, how they functioned, how they dressed, how they walked, how they talked. All of this spoke of Solomon and his wisdom. And we live in a very, we live in an age that says very often we can separate the character, what I say from what I do, or what I say from how I present myself. But here the Queen of Sheba is saying, the Word of God is saying, that those two things go together. I was reflecting upon some of the pomp and circumstance that you see with governments when there's a change of administration, and how everything is in place, from the prime minister or the president down to the individuals who may drive the motorcycle, and how their dress, their comportment. You know, the Brits are known for how those who serve in the court, they stand. They're not going to move because you say something to them. Their dress. And I think it speaks to us in a very practical way. Brother Jake said, when someone comes in from the outside who doesn't know the Lord as Savior, are we speaking words that don't fall in line with either our conduct or the way even in which we present ourselves? Because it reflects the Lord. They say in business, you know, today young people may not understand this, but you go for an interview, and before you present your credentials, your degree, the interviewer has made an assessment of you just from you walking in the door, the way you sit, the way you sit in the waiting room. And so how much more for us that represent those who are ambassadors, those who speak of Christ, and to reflect him in the scene, that when we come together, the days when we walk about the scene, how we ought to be those of order, so that when they look upon us as well, they can say, I can see in that individual elements that reflect back on the Lord Jesus.
So what we have seen thus far in these verses, two aspects of things. That what is suitable in the presence of the Lord and conformity to him. This is what we have gained from these two verses. And the Queen of Sheba now, there is a time where she was also looked at the way he went up into the house of the Lord. And that's wonderful to see, dear brother. That how the Lord comes up and brings us somehow to his blessed God. And to also be able to contemplate the half has not been told. She is now responding to all what she saw in Solomon. She couldn't believe it when she heard it, but now she has seen it. And the response, the half has not been told. What, how true it is of the Lord Jesus that the half has not been told. But 15 minutes left. And unfortunately, time flies. And I'm wondering if we can come into the response of when she saw Solomon, when she saw these things that are suitable in his presence, when she recognized conformity in the saints to Christ, then there was something in her that she responded. The first thing that the scripture says, there was no more spirit in her. Someone has said, this is the best thing that describes what true worship is. When someone is lost in the presence of someone greater. And that's what happened to that queen. She was lost completely. There was no spirit in her because she was in the presence of someone that is so great. But I wonder if we can enter, and the saints, please help us so that we can get some gain. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants. Blessed be thy God. And somehow to just engage our hearts of the greatness of God, the greatness of the Lord Jesus that she utters here.
Would you mind, John, if I just add to what you said before, that this, where she got to the point where she was lost completely, she had reached the region of satisfied desire. Her desires have been met. She looks at his movement upward, and it fills her soul with a delight that you can't measure it. She had seen Solomon's movement. And I think if you and I don't see somewhat of Solomon's movement, and especially on the morrow as we come together, I think we will miss greatly, and we do very often, miss greatly the blessedness of the occasion. The train that filled, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 6, the train that filled the holy place. We need to have a sense of the greatness of Christ as he is in that active place of ascent and glory to his God and Father. And I think we miss that very often.
Yeah, I was also just thinking that when it says that before the presence, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, who stand continually before thee. You know, they were continually before Solomon's presence. They continually heard his wisdom. And as a result of being continually before his presence, hearing his wisdom, they now reflected his character. And even for the believer today, for the true, in the greater Solomon, when we are before him in his presence, that's when we really begin to reflect his character. And that's when we really begin to walk what we preach or walk what we say. So there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord and then coming out and reflecting his character.